chickity charco, the chocolate chicken. It's Mega Ran, back in the place to be. It's Matt Mania. I know it's been a while. Stop hounding me. I'm busy. Yo, so I'm back at home. Just came off 3 months of tour. Appreciate everybody. Big shout out to MC Lars, MC Chris, K Murdoch, Cuckoo Kangaroo, and everybody who came out to the shows in the US as well as in the UK. And in Paris, my dude DJ Pi hooked us up. We had a great show on a boat, man. It was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. But it was very cold. I'm really happy to get back home. My wife actually came out for the last week of shows in Paris and London. That was fun. Got a chance to make a little vacation out of it, but no true vacation is like coming to Phoenix in December. That's a vacation. It's beautiful out here. 85 degrees, sunny, nice, awesome. I'm in short sleeves. It's great, man. But anyway, WWE has a pay-per-view, as they tend to do. And so here I am back. Thanks for everybody tuned into the last episode of my boy Ellis. That was fun. But yeah, I'm back home, man. I haven't recorded at home in a long time. So speaking of recording, I got music to put together. I'll be working on new stuff for the Patreon. I'm doing something with Knights, which is a classic game from the Saturn days. Also, it is Mega Man's birthday, so that's a celebration. 29 years ago, the first Mega Man game came out today. That's crazy. So I'm going to tell y'all my first story about Mega Man, and then I'll get into the show. People always wonder, man, how did I get into Mega Man? What was Mega Man? What was it? So I told a little bit of this story before. Nintendo Power, episode 2, I believe, had issue 2. Had Mega Man 2 on the front and like some claymation stuff. I mean, it's a great cover. Looks like clay stop motion with like a Dr. Wily ship. It was so colorful, man. And I opened it up and they showed, they had a big, big spread on Mega Man 2. They showed the maps, they showed the bosses, and it was just so dope. And next thing you know, it was coming out that holiday season. And of course, as new games were, it was expensive as heck. It was 50 bucks. So we went to the store. Kitty City, my favorite toy store, which is now defunct, rest in peace. Mom looked at the price of Mega Man 2 and was like, nah, boy, that's not happening. I'm not paying $50 for no game, just for you to play it for a week and be done. So next thing you know, I leave the store, I'm dejected. On another trip, my mom takes me to the mall and we go into a spot called Clover. Now, Clover was a discount shop. Department store. They also had a game section, so I would always go to the game section, and my mom would put a couple bucks in my hand, because growing up as a young kid in the hood, and I'm not just gonna say black kid, but a poor kid, she felt like she didn't want anybody to be able to tell me that I was poor, even though we were. So I thought that was awesome, very admirable of her, and I love her for that. And so she would put money in my hand. Like, I didn't have allowance or anything like that, but when we went out, she would put money in my hand whenever I had to leave her to go, you know, I was going to go sit in the toy section. She's like, I want you to have money because I don't want people assuming you're broke, and I don't want you getting tempted to do crazy stuff because you can't afford stuff. And I don't know. She just felt like, I don't know. It was like a weird thing, like as if like the store person would be like, hey, kid, you don't have any money. Get out of here. And then I could pull out my 20 and be like, I got money. And then be like, okay, stay. Now, I feel like that's secretly what she was thinking. Like, they're going to think you don't have any money. So make sure that you do have money. You're a shopper. You're not a person just here to browse. You're not some poor kid trying to, you know, trying to get over it or just looking pitiful. So anyway, nevertheless, she put 20 bucks in my hand and I went to the toy section. And I saw Mega Man 1. And I was confused. I say it in a line in one of the songs. I say, I wasn't sure if the game was official because on the front was some lame old dude with a pistol. Because the first cover, as you know, was this old bad box art Mega Man, as they call him. Look like an old dude. He's holding a gun in his hand when in the game, his hand is a gun. It transforms into a gun. So whoever did this art was just not interested in the Mega Man character at all. Didn't care. And I heard that there were some other reasons about it, but I didn't know about it back then. But I flipped it over and it was the same guy. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. This is the same game. And sure enough, it was in the bargain bin. It was 1999. Like the Prince song. 1999. Mm, 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 mm. So I copped it, and I was stuck on that game forever. So that is my story of Mega Man 2. I didn't play Mega Man, that's Mega Man 1. Mega Man 2 I didn't play until a year later. Like, we moved to down south, and some kids had it next door to me, and they came over and brought it over and played. And eventually I wound up trading my whole Nintendo and all my games to him for a Super Nintendo. They got everything over there. I don't know how he allowed me to do it, but he did. And I wound up, that's how I got a Super Nintendo. I actually traded all my stuff in like a few years later. So it must not have been 1 year later. It must have been like 2 or 3 years later. But anyway, moved back up. Kept drawing Mega Man characters in my sketchbooks because I was really, really obsessed with it. And then next thing you know, boom, Mega Man Mania. And then 10 years later, I decided to write rap songs about Mega Man. And here I am. That is this very long story of my history of Mega Man. But anyway, I want to shout out our guest today. Great guest, Randy Cruz, who's awesome. Great podcast guy. He runs the Cruise Control podcast, which you can get on SoundCloud and iTunes. Speaking of iTunes, my show was not on iTunes for a while because I'm an idiot. I accidentally uploaded the podcast twice to iTunes, and then I tried to delete it twice, and now I deleted both of them. So now I have to wait for them to upload again. Having some iTunes troubles. Anyway, I'm going to get my life together, I promise. Thank you guys so much. New music is coming. Let's get on with the podcast. Ring the bell, yeah. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Matt Mania. It's Mega Ran. And once again, I'm back with another episode. This one's going to be special because it's the holidays. And we're going to be talking about WWE Roadblock, which is another pay-per-view. I think, I don't know, maybe they shouldn't call them pay-per-views anymore. Or maybe it's only us that call them pay-per-views. But anyway, I have a special guest. You may have heard him a little while back. He's one of my first guests, actually. He runs an awesome podcast, Hoops Aficionado. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Randy Cruz. How you doing, sir?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm chilling, man. It's I was just telling you, it's good to be out of the snow and the cold, man. I spent 3 months in the cold, so I'm good. I'm glad to be out west, and it's nice and comfortable. It's beautiful.
Yeah, man, you got home just in time because it snowed early this morning. It's like low 30s. The winter is definitely here. Tomorrow's going to be 60, which I have no idea why that even happens, but, you know, it is what it is when you live up north.
Wow. All right. Well, I feel for you, man. I do. But anyway, you know, it's all good. It's a small price to pay for living in the greatest city in the world, I guess.
I guess so, yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, what you been up to, man? I feel like I keep up with you on Twitter. The show seems to be going well. You always drop a nugget of a history of something usually that's relevant to my interests. What was your, did you post anything today? Like, what was today in history?
No, I did not even, I don't think there is anything for me to post up, which, I mean, I haven't checked. I know after the show, I probably looked some stuff up, but I guess that's just the whole nostalgia part of me, like whether it's, you know, TV shows or video games or, you know, previous wrestling events. I just like to go back and, you know, figure out, oh, 10 years ago it is, 20 years ago it is, anniversary, and you know, and let people know, you know, what happened, you know, long ago, because we do have a younger generation on Twitter and social media that doesn't know certain events that happened years ago. So, you know, it tends to be kind of cool. Some people hit me up saying, wow, man, I feel really old when you post some things up. And I'm like, yeah, man, me too. But I think just bringing the whole nostalgia part back to it, you know, being current, yeah, but I think sometimes it's cool to talk about some nostalgia stuff.
It is, man. They say, you know, it's the old saying, you can't go forward without going back. Exactly. And I think it's really important to review and respect our history. I was just reading a tweet. I don't want to get into too much because we're actually supposed to be talking about wrestling. But I saw a tweet about from Rob Markman, who's a respected hip-hop head. And he was talking about, well, someone said on Twitter, today's rappers, man, it's not about bars. It's not about, you know, how nice your pen game is. And so to try to hold new guys to that standard is very old and dated and antiquated. And it just shows your age and your inability to, I guess, adapt with the times. And Rob's response was, no, it's still important for these guys to respect the lineage and the history of rap and respect the time when that was important. So I don't know. Real quick, what do you think about that?
I mean, yeah, I think, you know, people my age, you know, early 30s, should pass down the history, whether it's sports or politics or whatever it might be, just so that the kids of our young generation just don't see stuff that happens today as if they're happening for the first time, or whether it's a video game or a movie. It's like, you know, this movie came out 20 years ago. Did you see the first one? And everybody would be like, nah, I just know about this one. Well, you know, sometimes just giving that lineage to the history, regardless of what it is, it's cool, because I think the kids would definitely appreciate it, and they can also, you know, have that sense like, you know what, I did see the first one, or I did play the first Nintendo or whatever it might be. I did see the first WrestleMania or whatever, and now we're gonna mm-hmm. be embarking on 33, you know, in a few months. So I think it's cool. So the kids nowadays don't get lost in thinking that whatever is happening now is happening for the first time. And to drop a little nugget real quick before we start, you and the whole, you know, anniversaries and me dropping nostalgia. Gonna circle back to wrestling. Today is the 21 year anniversary of In Your House, where hold up, I'm trying to find the main event. In Your House number 5, December 17th, 1995. The main event was Bret Hart and the Bulldog for the WWF Championship. So there you go. That's a little nugget for you.
Wow. Okay. See, you never disappoint. And I actually found out, and there's one I should have known about that is today, which is very important to me. In 1987, today, 29 years ago, Mega Man came out for the NES.
Oh, wow.
It was the very first game. The very first Mega Man game came out in 87. So, yes, we got some important history with today's date, December the 17th. Well, now I've totally dated this podcast, but that's all good. It's a week before Christmas. You know, there's the holiday havoc of getting everything all together. And WWE, like a good business, decided to throw in a pay-per-view right before Christmas to get, you know, make some more Christmas money. Why not? So, you know, so I got to ask, like, right now, I always check in every once in a while. How do you feel about the brand split? Like, what's popping for you? Who's killing it right now? Who's in the lead? What you think?
I like Raw, but I think majority would agree that SmackDown has been the better brand, the better television show, the better of the two when it comes to their, you know, their own individual pay-per-view events. We all know Raw is the flagship show, 3 hours, cruiserweights. They got the Kevin Owens and Reigns and Rollins. It might sound like they have the better roster on paper, but I think SmackDown does a better job when it comes to their storylines, making things, you know, seem real or worth something. I think the addition of Talking Smack after SmackDown has been a great powerhouse, a great addition to that SmackDown brand, because once 10 o'clock hits, well, 10 o'clock Eastern on my end, they go right to the network to watch Talking Smack, because you never know what's going to happen. And whether things are real or kayfabe or whatever it is on there, you, the viewer at home, kind of feel like, hey, that Daniel Bryan Miz thing, it looks real, but I don't know. So they kind of blur the lines of what's real and what's not. And I think they utilize their younger talent a little better on SmackDown than they do on Raw. More different opportunities when it comes to the championships. And like I said, they do a better job when it comes to the pay-per-view. And I know Roadblock is tomorrow, and we had TLC a week and a half ago. And TLC, to me, was a great pay-per-view top to bottom. And I think, you know, I think you have to go all the way back to WrestleMania 31 to figure out what pay-per-view you've seen in the last year and a half that from top to bottom was good matches, good storytelling, made you think like what's supposed to happen, what might happen, who might win. You're not sure who's going to win. So I think Roblox has you know, their work cut out for them on tomorrow. Raw has been pretty, you know, pretty decent, pretty good, but you kind of get some of the same things on Raw every week. I know last couple of weeks it's been a little different. They have little you know, attitude era type moments when it comes to their storylines and their matches, but I think top to bottom, for me, SmackDown is above Raw. It's not totally above Raw. I know Raw can get to that level again, but right now SmackDown is winning, and I think it's adding pressure to Raw to go out there and do these crazy matches and have crazy rivalries and storylines. So I'm a fan of both, but if you want to ask me what I look more interested in to seeing more, I would say more SmackDown and their pay-per-views as opposed to Raw.
I agree. All right, now I feel like SmackDown is more exciting, but I think, like you said, it's a shorter show and there's more young talent. I feel like, but you made a good point, and as you were talking about it, it made me think, is this really a competition? Like, is it a competition? I mean, I feel like they've done a great job of making it feel that way in the last few months, especially. But I remember the old days of Raw versus SmackDown, and it really feeling like each show was going out trying to outdo the other show. Do you feel like it's happening right now where they're really legit trying to make sure that they have the better brand?
I think to a degree, yeah. Again, everything is, you know, scripted and things like that. But I think for some parts, you know, Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon really want to outdo Mick Foley and Stephanie just to kind of prove that they do give different opportunities. They do provide different caliber of matches. I mean, yeah, sometimes you do see the same matches on SmackDown, like, you know, Dolph and Miz going at it quite a few times, but there seems to be a different element to every match. And the same thing happens on Raw with Sasha and Charlotte, where they always go at it, but there's a different element to every match. And, you know, with the whole Women's Revolution, and they are at the top tier of that division. And I think there is a competition between both. And in the ratings, people would probably still see Raw because people, the fans and the casual fans are just accustomed to seeing Monday Night Raw on Monday nights, and maybe not are that in tune to see SmackDown on Tuesday nights. You know, throughout the week, there's a lot of wrestling. There's Mondays, there's Raw, there's SmackDown, there's NXT, Talking Smack. You have 205 Live, so a lot of people may just feel like, I just want to watch Raw and that's it. So the ratings may not reflect that well for SmackDown, but if they want to watch a better product, they're going to see that SmackDown does do things that hand in hand are a little bit differently than Raw. I know SmackDown's 2 hours. Fans better because they're not seeing 3 hours of just wasted product. And if the competition is real, I think it's good because sometimes we don't want to see the same thing over and over again. When the whole brand split happened, you had this whole entire roster, and it's like, what do you do for 3 hours on Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown? You might as well split them up. And even guys like John Cena, who's like the biggest star in the company, is not even on SmackDown right now, but people are still watching because of guys like AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose and even James Ellsworth. Of all people, fans want to tune in to see what he's going to do. And just like that, they created James Ellsworth out of nowhere. And I think that's the beauty of SmackDown every week, just for the fact that you never know what's going to happen and these new stars are being built on their brand.
Yeah, I agree, man. I do. I think it's really been interesting. I agree with you totally on TLC. It was one of the best top to bottom pay-per-views of this year. So they definitely got some work to do to catch up. I don't think there's quite as many interesting elements around to make it happen, but we'll see. So we're about to talk about it. We're going to break down this entire card in 1 minute. I'm about to take a break. It's Mega Ran with special guest Randy Cruz, and it's Matt Mania. Thank you. It's Mega Ran and special guest Randy Cruz, and we're talking about WWE Roadblock End of the Line, as well as whatever's on our mind. Right now, Raw does have some catching up to do to put on a show that I think will be on par with TLC. I think it's already at a disadvantage because it doesn't have a gimmick behind it, you know what I mean? So we're not going to see table matches, ladder matches, chairs matches, you know, things like that. So they decided to go with some old feuds and trying to create a new situation. So here's what we got. I'm not sure of the order, but we're just going to go into it. I heard that there's a pre-show match. It's either going to be Big Cass or Enzo versus Rusev. Real quick, what do you think about this story? What's going on?
Honestly, man, I don't know. I think they just kind of looked at Rusev and Big Cass and Enzo and felt like, well, we have nothing for you at the moment. We have no title matches for you in the moment, but we're going to put you guys together in a storyline with Enzo. And that started with Enzo and Lana, that eventually led to Big Cass and Rusev. I just think it's just a filler match for the card, which is, you know, unfortunate, because these are two young talents that can really go in the ring. But at this current time, there's just nothing for them to do besides go at each other for the time being. So, you know, Rusev is a former U.S. champion. He has the potential to be a big-time talent and a megastar and a main eventer. Big Cass is still early in his career. He also has the potential to be that big star. But just for this week in Roadblock, you guys just got to go against each other. And I guess Rusev is defending, you know, his wife's honor, and Big Cass is defending Enzo for being jumped by Rusev in the hotel room. And that's what I meant earlier, that this is kind of like an old Attitude Era kind of storyline, where, you know, the language and the shots that they showed in the promos on Raw kind of made you feel like this is like something out of 1998-99, which is good, but again, you're relegated to the pre-show. And when you do that, it kind of makes you feel like this match doesn't mean much. They're just going to fight, and whoever wins, that might be it. I don't think this storyline is going to extend into, you know, Royal Rumble, which I highly doubt. This might be a one-off. But on my show early in the week, I did pick Big Cass, but I'm not too sure if he's going to win for some reason. I might change it to Rusev. I really don't know if Big Cass losing benefits him or if Rusev losing benefits him. It's really a tough call to see who's going to win. But the question you have to ask is, you know, all right, if Rusev wins, what's next for him? If Big Cass wins, how does that elevate him? Which we don't know yet. So it's kind of a toss up. I have Big Cass earlier in the week, but I won't be shocked if Rusev walks out with the victory.
Yeah, I feel like Rusev needs to win this one more so than Big Cass. Cass and Enzo are going to be over forever. You know, they're great. They're fun. I don't know. Rusev's moment is just slipping away, and it kind of disappoints me every time it happens, because this is like maybe the second or third time. And I feel like they took the belt off of him really for no reason except to kind of boost Roman. And
yeah.
And it's killing Rusev's character. I mean, this was a monster. You built up a monster. This is the second time they've built him up, and then they're just to knock him down, you know. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here. I hope that this will end. Let's not forget that they're expecting us to cheer for Enzo for attempting to sleep with a dude's wife. Like, this is just, it's all crazy. So, it does feel a little bit Attitude Era bizarro, you know. It reminds me of old Val Venus, Ken Shamrock stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's like you're cheering for the guy who's screwing somebody over, you know what I mean? So I don't know. Anyway, I don't really care a lot about this match, unfortunately, which is a shame, because these are two great talents, like you said. So they kind of put them in a bad spot, but hey, the win or loss does not matter at this point. But I really do hope it's Rusev. Maybe he can get back into the U.S. title picture. I don't know. So, I don't see... we'll get to Roman later. But I don't know, but I do think Rusev wins this one. I'm gonna go Rusev, Machka. Next, New Day takes on Cesaro and Sheamus for the tag team titles. As we know, this week, New Day broke the record, longest tag team champions ever. I think they're technically still behind some team who has, like, throughout, not in WWE, but some other team. Gosh, who was it? I don't know. I saw it on my Twitter. But there's some other team that's held it for, like, 600 days, like, in a couple different federations. But anyway, New Day made history. I was really excited about that. They were obviously excited, too. I don't know if you saw the backlash of the tweet Xavier Woods and Big E put up talking about Black Excellence. Did you see that?
Yeah, so New Day, Sasha, and Rich Swann with all their belts, right?
Yes. Yeah. You know, it was a great photo, great moment. I'm sure everybody was excited in the moment, and there's a hashtag Black Excellence, and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram went crazy. Like, they just proceeded to blast these dudes, and it was kind of crazy. Like, I knew once I saw it that there would be some feet, you know, some definitely some blowback, but you know, they were prepared for it, and Kofi took the high road and responded. And I said on Twitter that I wish you didn't have to explain that, you know what I mean? That WWE has an entire, or wrestling in general, has an entire lineage of big buff white dudes winning everything, you know what right. I mean? So one moment in time, there are all these champions that are not big buff white dudes, and They just want to be excited about it, and here comes somebody knocking them down, you know. And I don't know. I feel like that's the internet, though. But people need to realize that, man. And I was saying that to some friends. Like, people need to realize that there are other people out there who got extremely excited, and they need to know that they can be anything, you know. Not just, you know, like, these spots aren't just reserved for big white dudes. You know, there are openings, and there are places, and there is a way to break that ceiling and that stereotype. So when it happens, it should be celebrated. So you know, but that caused some uproar. But anyway, we're over it. But I personally think it's probably time for New Day to lose. What do you think?
For honestly, I thought New Day should have lost a few months ago. But I guess we kind of got that notion that they might be aiming for Demolition's record. I don't think the company was going to let New Day get that far along and not really, like, you know what, maybe we can have this go on a little further. New Day, they don't need the tag team belts. They're over as they are. But should they lose? I think if they're going to lose, with them breaking the record being a big deal and everything, I just don't see them losing at a roadblock. Maybe if they lose at the Rumble, it'll kind of mean a little more with more people in the crowd. You're talking 70,000 people at the Rumble, and just imagine that their record gets broken at the Rumble as opposed to roadblock. It might happen tomorrow. It might happen, but if Sheamus and Cesaro do not win the belts tomorrow, then it's like, all right, New Day, you've beaten Sheamus and Cesaro quite a few times. You beat the club like 20 times. You beat Jericho. You beat Reigns and Rollins. Golden Truth, Shining Star. It's like, who else is there left on the roster? Or you have them win. You have New Day retain tomorrow. Then you have, like, the Revival come up, and they start a program for the Rumble. I don't know. They can go quite a few ways, but I just think that, you know, everything reminds me of when Nikki Bella won, you know, when she broke AJ Lee's record for the longest reigning Divas champion. And she broke the record, I think, on a Raw on a Monday. And that following week, that weekend, she lost it at Night of Champions. So it might happen. So, again, the Divas championship reign was not as long as the tag team title reign that Demolition had, but could I see New Day losing on Sunday? Absolutely, because it's like, if you beat these two guys, who's next? And is it the revival? Can you build a program all the way to the end of January to get that uproar and get that storyline going? And then you lose at a big time of one of the big four major pay-per-views to be like a bigger moment, then you could do that. But if Sheamus and Cesaro win on Sunday, then I'm cool with it. New Day has a record, great. Then it's like, maybe them chasing to get the belts back at a later date might be a bigger story.
I agree. I'm hoping for, yeah, I agree. I wish it was, if it's going to happen, I feel like it will be at a bigger moment, but you never know. You just never know with WWE, honestly. So I've thought as soon as they put Cesaro and Sheamus together that they were going to be tag team champions. Like, I instantly thought that. So I do think it's going to happen at some point. And it needs to, and I feel like maybe, but I don't know. I think putting them back on the chase would be interesting, or creating some cool dynamic where they lose due to like a lack of teamwork, and then they argue a little bit, they tease a breakup, you know, then they get back together, you know, just something cool to shake it up. I feel like in general, the New Day story needs a little bit of a shakeup. So, but Roadblock a week before Christmas, probably not going to happen. But they've been squeaking by. Like, New Day's been squeaking by to win every single time, like in the last 2 months or so. So I feel like something like that will happen again, and it'll maybe be some shenanigans. They'll get a rematch, and then they'll just do it at the Rumble. But so I do think I pick New Day. Is that also your pick? Or?
I did a show earlier in the week, and I said, I think I would go New Day, but if Sheamus and Cesaro wins, it won't surprise me. If I'm the company, I would have New Day lose at the Rumble. But it has to be a new tag team. It can't be the club for the 84th time. It can't be Sheamus and Cesaro. They have their chances. I think getting their revival up in there and challenge them. And I think it's good, because now they'll get the rub off of New Day. And New Day can experiment where they go singles. I'm not saying totally break up, but they can go. Kofi can go for a certain belt. Big E can go for Roman Reigns' U.S. title or something. So, there are other options for New Day to do, as opposed to remaining tag team champions. But I would say New Day, because it's Roadblock, and I think they would do it at a bigger pay-per-view event.
Yeah. Okay. I can agree with that. I don't predict any title changes, honestly, at this show, which reminds me, there was another new Roadblock event like earlier this year. Am I tripping? Like, wasn't there a Roadblock earlier this year?
The Roadblock was the one that was the special on the network before WrestleMania with Triple H for Dean Ambrose,
yeah. And that was in Canada, I remember that. And that was definitely this year. Like, that's pretty crazy that they did two Roadblock events in the same year.
Well, now it's Roadblock and End of the Line. So, their tag lines for these events yesterday. So
now they can do, man, two in a year.
Man, I'm more old school, man. Take away Roadblock, take away Fastlane, bring back No Way Out and Unforgiven and Judgment Day.
Dude, seriously, what's wrong with In Your House? Like, why not just call them In Your House again? Like, I like those.
They should be like In Your House.
In Your House Roadblock, you know?
Roadblock.
I think that would be cool. But, you know, they're all about rebranding.
King of the Ring, too. Bring back King of the Ring.
Oh, they need to. You know, didn't they do that last year? Like, just for the network, they did a King of the Ring tournament or something?
It was, I think a year and a half ago, when they had the whole Bad News Barrett and Neville.
King Barrett. And then
King Barrett, but that wasn't King of the Ring, man. Yeah. I mean, we know what the King of the Ring is or what it was. So
right.
If my thing is, if you're gonna do something, do it right. If not, don't do it at all. But, you know, bring back some of the old school. If you could bring Clash of Champions, that was never used in the WWE.
They'll never do that, but okay. you know why they'll never do that. Like,
bring back your Unforgivens and Judgment Days and No Way Outs, and or just call everything In Your House, whatever you want to call it. So Fastlane, I don't like. Yeah. Battleground, I don't like.
Yeah.
And a lot of they depend on these gimmick matches to be a pay-per-view, where, you know, Hell in a Cell doesn't need to be a freaking pay-per-view. Money in the Bank doesn't need to be a pay-per-view. TLC, maybe. That's more like your Extreme Rules kind of day,
yeah,
which I'm cool with. But if they would take away the gimmick matches as pay-per-views and not dilute them throughout the year, where we had three Hell in a Cell matches in one night, it was like, all right, that's a little overkill.
Yeah, but it used to be a big deal to see Hell in a Cell. Like, I mean, having three... I was at Hell in a Cell this year, and to start off the show with a Hell in a Cell match, it's just like, wait, what? Like, this is supposed to be a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
So I just was, nah, I don't know. I mean, but I feel like they benefit on, or they rely on short memories, you know what I mean? Like, so it's all about new stuff, you know? Like, let's just, either we can repeat things, or other times there's like huge lapses in storyline because they're like, oh, you don't remember that. You don't remember this happened, you know. But we do remember. And some stuff wasn't even that old. Like Hell in a Cell was a thing. Like it was Undertaker throwing Mankind off the side. You know what I mean? Like it was huge moments, huge events. You know, now it's like every match. And now, you know, it's not even as big of a deal. So...
Now anybody could be in a cell for like the U.S. title, where it's like,
right, yeah, like that used to be.
Does not need to be in the freaking Hell in a Cell. Come on now.
First, I mean, for a long time, it was just Undertaker's match. You know what I mean? Like, okay, Undertaker is the only guy who's in a Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
You know, and things like that. Now it's like everybody. Like, come on. But anyway, next we got. Well, I think, yeah, we're going to determine that New Day probably wins. It's a small pay-per-view for that reason.
Right.
Sami Zayn, Braun Strowman. This is something that they've been trying to brew for a while. Braun Strowman ran through everybody, never had a real opponent. Sami gets destroyed by him as a punishment for losing the IC title match, which is a little crazy to me, but okay. I remember them hyping up. That's another thing. It's like short memory stuff. After Survivor Series, you're like, your jobs are on the line. You could be fired. And then nothing happens, you know? So the only person who gets punished is Sami Zayn. And he has to fight Braun Strowman. And I saw that match, and God, it was a brutal match. I mean, Sami sells like no other outside of maybe Dolph Ziggler. But it looked like he got killed in that match. And so then, storyline-wise, he begs to get another match. He's like, oh, I'm going to demand a trade, blah, blah, blah. People got excited. The internet went crazy. Like, oh, shoot, send Sami to SmackDown, please. Now, so I'll ask you, if Sami was on SmackDown, do you feel like that would be a better situation for him?
Yeah, I thought when... I honestly thought that when Mick Foley said we've come with a trade with Daniel Bryan, I really thought it was going to be Sami Zayn for like Dolph Ziggler. Mm. And I figured like Dolph Ziggler is, you know, he's had multiple chances at the Intercontinental Championship, just wasn't getting it done. And they figured when he said equal value, I'm thinking, all right, that's Dolph. Dolph and Sami, they both might need a change,
mm-hmm.
Get different opportunities. You can see Dolph go for maybe Roman Reigns' U.S. title or something like that, have good matches with Jericho, and just to spark him up. And the same thing for Sami Zayn. But when Mick Foley said, Eva Marie, we're not trading you, I was just doing this to hype you up and get you motivated. I mean, it's a cool storyline. It's something different. Would I have wanted to see Sami Zayn on SmackDown? Absolutely. But he's going to have Braun Strowman tomorrow. I think with the whole 10-minute thing, it just kind of smells like they're going to go the whole entire 10 minutes and nobody's going to win. Mm. Just to say, like, you know, Sami Zayn, he did not win. He did not get pinned or submit.
Mm.
Or counted out or DQ'd, but he lasted 10 minutes with Braun Strowman.
Wow.
And now Braun Strowman has to, like, man, if I can't beat Sami Zayn in 10 minutes, then maybe he doubts himself going forward. So I don't think anybody's going to win tomorrow. I think that they do the whole time limit thing. And it just remains to see how they go on from here, how they play off of that. Maybe do another match, a rematch on Raw the next night. But I to have Sami lose in a pin, 1-2-3 tomorrow, it just kind of dilutes the whole storyline. Like, you know, get him getting hyped up by Mick Foley for, you know, a couple of weeks for him to lose is like, all right, now what do you do? But let him go out there, show what he can do against Braun Strowman. Let him last 10 minutes with Braun Strowman and go from there. I don't think anybody's going to win tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. I had forgot about the 10-minute time limit. So looks like, yeah, I could see that happening. They last and this doesn't get resolved. This doesn't seem like something that could be resolved really in 10 minutes. So yeah, I do feel like Sammy and like Dolph are kind of on equal footing right now. I mean, except Sammy hasn't gotten any title wins and since he's been up, but both great athletes, you know, both sell like madmen, and both haven't really gotten a chance to really do anything amazing yet, like at their potential level. So I do feel like Zayn needs to go over, but probably not. He probably needs to go to SmackDown, but maybe not for Dolph. I feel like they need to keep Dolph there. They need another good mid-carder. But
right.
But it probably would be the best equal value trade if it happens. So, yeah, we both agree on that. I think a draw is going to happen. Let's see. We got Rich Swann versus TJ Perkins versus the Brian Kendrick triple threat for the Cruiserweight Championship. Who you got?
I got Rich. He just won the title not too long ago from the Brian Kendrick on 205 Live, and Kendrick had just won the belt from Perkins. So I don't want to see them do the hot potato with the belt so early. So I think Rich will go over. What other storylines can they bring out this? I'm not too sure. I'm still getting, you know, used to the cruiserweights and the kind of talent they have every Monday night and 205 Live. And I like Kendrick. I like Swan. I'm not too much of a fan of TJ Perkins. I don't know whether it's a gimmick or he can wrestle. Maybe just a gimmick throws me off. But you ask who's going to win, I think Rich walks out with still champion. I think it's too early to take the belt off of him. And I know everybody beat each other. I think that's where they're going. But I think they were smart. They would have Rich walk out with the victory.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I mean, I like the fact that they're giving these guys opportunities, but I feel like they're kind of stuck. But for the first 2 months, it was a two-man, you know, division with TJ and Kendrick. Now they've added another guy in. So they're slowly kind of becoming, you know, building this into something. Now Gentleman Jack is becoming a thing. So I think it's cool that they are slowly working these guys in and creating opportunities for them, which is cool. So with that said, Rich Swann has been pretty cool, so I do want to see him retain. In response to TJ, I do agree. I think his gimmick kind of needs some work. I think he needs to turn heel. I think a heel run would be great right now for him. He's a little too kind of white bread baby face. You know, some of the lines are corny that he's coming off with. So I don't know. The dab is one of those things that kind of makes my skin crawl. But you know.
Yeah.
but yeah, I do think that it'll come together hopefully. But I do believe Rich Swann is the guy that will take this match. It should be entertaining. It should be at least. All right. Speaking of hot potato with belts, we got the women's championship. Sasha Banks, Charlotte. This is a 30-minute Iron Man match. This is now Sasha's a 3-time champ. This is the 5th time that the belt has changed hands between these two. And this time, Ric Flair is now involved. I missed some of the segments. Correct me if I get this wrong, but Charlotte turns on Flair, on Ric. Then Sasha comes out, suggests another match, and then Charlotte invites Ric Flair to apologize, then says, psych, slaps him. Sasha comes out, says, you disrespected your dad, blah, blah, blah. you are to be ashamed. And now this match is apparently for Ric Flair's honor. Is that about right?
Yeah, just about right.
It's like they try to add something new into this feud, and it's something old, you know. Literally, it's Ric Flair. So I don't get it. You know what? But as I started saying that, I know exactly what's going to happen. Ric Flair is going to help Charlotte win, and surprise, swerve by the dirtiest player in the game. That's what's going to happen.
And then if they do that, that's we're back at square one.
Yeah. Right. You're literally at the very beginning of the Charlotte story.
Yeah, Ric Flair helped Charlotte win at WrestleMania. So we're talking, we're going back to April. And it's like, all right, if Charlotte wins, who's next? Are you going to start doing the whole Bayley storyline? They could do that. I don't think Nia Jax will come up that quick in the card for being a contender. Mm-hmm. That's why I really hope Sasha wins, man. I to go back and forth with the same two people. It's like, yeah, I know what you're trying to do, like to show that these are the two best female wrestlers in the world. They had the big rivalry going back to NXT. I get all that, but when you change the belt every month, and again, like they did this in the Attitude Era, and back then we were like, you know, oh wow, this is crazy. The Rock and Mankind changed the belt four or five times from like November to WrestleMania. But that back then, I guess you wasn't seeing it so often. And now it's like, all right, anytime Sasha and Charlotte fight on a pay-per-view, 99% of people are thinking like, well, Charlotte's going to win because she never lost one-on-one or in a championship match on a pay-per-view. Now, if this was Raw, people might say Sasha's going to win or retain or regain the title. And again, it being roadblock, if they really want to keep this streak of Charlotte not losing on a pay-per-view, do they end it at a roadblock or do they end it at a bigger event like WrestleMania? So part of me thinks Charlotte might win. I want Sasha to win. But I think if Charlotte wins, she has to go to somebody else. She got to maybe do a one-off with Nia Jax or somebody and then work with Bayley at WrestleMania. And Bayley gets that victory over Charlotte for the first time. But it being an Iron Woman match, you know, many things can happen. Many things can play out. They're not going to go 0-0 like Bret and Shawn did. They're going to have a few falls, maybe two up, three up. Ric Flair is a big question mark. If he gets involved, is he going to help Charlotte or is he going to help Sasha Banks? And that whole thing with him getting slapped in the face was just a big act and a big swerve. But then again, we saw this happen months ago. And it's not like if he helps Sasha win, that could be something different. I don't think that'll make Sasha a bad person or go heel. But it just, you're trying to think of, you have Rumble next, you have Fastlane for Raw after that, and then you have Mania. How do you build going forward with either one as champion when your women's division is not as long as SmackDown is right now? And people thought that Raw had a better women's division when the whole draft came. And now SmackDown has a better, more orchestrated female division than Raw. And well, Raw is really just about Sasha and Charlotte right now. So,
well, who could have predicted?
I want Sasha. I think Charlotte's going to win.
Okay. All right. I agree. It seems like, I mean, Charlotte doesn't lose on pay-per-view, and they're not going to break that streak at Roadblock, you know?
Right.
So it's funny. They had plans, but, you know, who could have predicted, like, the Paige implosion and, you know what I mean, and all the other things that happened with Raw? You know, Naomi not quite getting over Alicia Fox. Well, Naomi's on SmackDown, but Alicia Fox not quite really, you know, living up to expectation. And SmackDown's guys have delivered, you know, from Carmella to Alexa. But I think just a matter of that they gave them a lot of chances to do it, you know, to come through. And Raw has not. It's been a two-woman division. You know, and literally, and it's like, I feel like they're gonna kill this because what are they gonna do at WrestleMania? Like, they're really gonna kill the expectation by having these two go at it so much. So this has to be the last time for a while, which means that they gotta bring Bayley has to maybe interfere, maybe accidentally, and cause Sasha the match. I don't know, something, and kind of turn. Maybe they'll do something that'll. I feel like Sasha could be due for a turn, and I think it'll be fun to watch. So I don't know. They gotta get Bayley into the situation. Bayley's been kind of underwhelming in my opinion on Raw. So I feel like it's time to get her into this picture by Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. So this could be the way to do it. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like I said, Charlotte's not taking this loss. So you say that they won't go 0-0. You think they'll do any other classic Iron Man moves like one, two, ding, ding, ding. Oh, the time limit's up. That kind of thing.
I mean, they might. I mean, they've main evented Raw. They've done Hell in a Cells. They're doing everything possible. And just to add a little old school, like you said, 1-2 time limit, sudden death. Somebody has to win. They could do that as opposed to just 2-2-3. Like I said, man, I think I want Sasha, but I think Charlotte's gonna win. I think they have no choice but to have Bayley go at her. And like you said, Bayley has been, it's not her fault, but the way that they've been portraying and presenting Bayley has been underwhelming from when she first debuted on Raw. And she's in a storyline about a stuffed animal with Alicia Fox. And I'm like, okay, let's just get through Roadblock and let's get Bayley on track with the championship with Charlotte or Sasha Banks. And lo and behold, she was the only sole survivor with Charlotte in Survivor Series. So maybe they can throw something like that. Like, hey, listen, out of all the girls you picked, you survived. So it's like maybe that puts me in this contention for your championship. Like, don't forget that. But I've been really surprised of how SmackDown's women's division has been compared to Raw. I like Alexa Bliss and Becky Lynch and Carmella. Not sure if you know, but even Mickie James signed a contract with the company, and I think she's going to SmackDown
Oh,
in
wow.
January. That builds up that roster even more. So, like you
Wow.
said, Paige, nobody expected the whole Paige thing to happen. SmackDown still has Eva Marie whenever she plans on fighting. So that division looking pretty strong compared to what they have on Raw right now.
Yeah, Raw is lacking, but maybe that was, written up that way in order to make room for cruiserweights and all the other things they're trying to do. I don't know. But yeah, but there's definitely been less women, ready for that spot, and that's really only their doing, and they're only in control of that. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I do predict Charlotte going over, but I think some shenanigans. All right, next we have Chris Jericho, Seth Rollins, singles match for nothing. I honestly think that they should have just put number one contender on this match or something cool like
True.
that. That already kind of puts it a little bit down on my priority must-watch list. I feel like they should have given these guys some stakes. But we'll see what happens. But I predict the same old shenanigans, and KO comes out and helps, and Seth takes the L, I predict. Maybe people are saying maybe Triple H will make an appearance. I don't think so. I just don't think right now that'll happen. They're being very selective about mentioning Triple H again this close to the Rumble, so I do feel like he'll appear at the Rumble, but not at Roadblock. So I predict Jericho goes over with shenanigans. What do you think?
I had Seth, but I think it'll make more sense if Jericho went over because, like I said, they have the Rumble next month, and if KO, I have KO winning, not to jump the gun, but I have KO winning against Roman, and I think it makes sense to have Kevin Owens and Jericho go 1-on-1 for the title at the Rumble, and that solidifies your main event on the Raw side for the Universal title, because Seth Rollins winning means what? Like, my thing is, they should have had Roman lose the US title to Jericho and make that maybe a US title match, or make it more interesting. Like you say, even the winner gets the number one contendership at the Royal Rumble or something, or future championship match, then fine. But this is just a regular match that I saw on Raw 2 months ago.
Right.
And it's, what are the stakes? If Seth Rollins wins, does he get a long way to rematch?